Thank God for the word.
Thank God for the word. Bring out your writing materials, notepads, Bibles, and let's learn. For some Christians, the pandemic was a time for them to take a break from spiritual things. Hallelujah. And then to eat and drink for tomorrow we. Hallelujah. And then you become twice your size like myself. Hallelujah. You know, I've doubled up. Praise God. But don't be deceived. It's fasting and prayer. Glory to God. Hallelujah. When some folks fast, they grow bigger. I'm in that category. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay, so we've been studying kerygma. What is kerygma? Kerygma is the gospel of Christ, the preaching, the message of Christ. So today, we're just going to continue. This is part 4. And I want you to be attentive. Listen, you are going to be writing. Praise God. When I say listen, then you listen, and then we talk. When I say let's keep writing, you keep writing. Praise God. If your hand is paining you, you know how we do in school. Go back, you keep writing. Praise God. Hallelujah. So let's bring out our notes and let's begin to write. Title of the message is kerygma. Kerygma is spelled K-E-R-Y-G-M-A. K-E-R-Y-G-M-A. Kerygma. What is kerygma? We've seen in the earlier studies, kerygma is the preaching. Not the act of preaching, but the preaching itself, the message. Glory to God. So let's write. The gospel. Okay, look around. You don't have your writing material? Okay, somebody there, just help out. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid to ask. Amen. Don't be afraid to ask. Nobody is going to scorn you or laugh at you. You don't have a Bible too. If what you have is a dictionary or some hardcover novel there, let us know. So we can give you one. And don't use your phone. If you are using your phone because it's your first time, it's permissible. Put off WhatsApp, Facebook, Instagram, and all the grams. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So should we wait for her? Huh? Yes. You're a good Christian. Hallelujah. Okay. Kerygma, how the gospel was preached. That's right. The gospel was proclaimed with the evidence of prophecies or the scriptures. Gospel was proclaimed with the evidence of prophecies or the scriptures. The gospel was proclaimed with the evidence of prophecies or scriptures. Hallelujah. That is, there is no invitation to a blind faith. That is, there is no invitation to a blind faith. What is blind faith? Listen, what is blind faith? Blind faith is just telling people to believe. Just believe. Just believe. You don't need to have any evidence. Just believe. That is not the Christian faith. In the preaching of the gospel, there's an evidence giving. Glory to God. So let's go to Acts 17. Acts of Apostles 17. We saw this last week. We'll see it again. Acts 17. And I'll read from verse 10. Glory to God. Acts 17 from verse 10. Bible says, then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness and set the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. So they believed because they received the word of God. Hallelujah. Bible says they searched daily, they received the word with all readiness, and then they went back to search. So, in preaching the gospel, men have an evidence and they can investigate. What did I say? Men have an evidence and they can do what? They can investigate. That is, as I'm preaching this morning,
you have a right to get back to your closet and investigate the things we are saying. Is this true? Praise God. And if you find out it is not true, you have a right to discard it. That is how the gospel is presented. Glory to God. Let's keep writing. So, the gospel delivered to the Bereans. Bereans is spelled B-E-R-E-A-N-S. The gospel delivered to the Bereans came with the evidence of the Old Testament prophecies. The gospel delivered to the Bereans came with the evidence of Old Testament prophecies. Came with the evidence of Old Testament prophecies. Hence, they could search, investigate, and scrutinize these things. Hence, they could search, investigate, and scrutinize these things. The gospel delivered to the Bereans came with the evidence of the Old Testament prophecies. Hence, they could search, investigate, and scrutinize these things. The scriptures carry the proof and evidence, and we must present it to men this way. The scriptures carry the proof and evidence, and we must present it to men this way. The scriptures carry the proof and evidence, and we must present it to men this way. Am I still writing? This is the bedrock of solid convictions in the gospel. This is the bedrock of solid convictions in the gospel. Don't worry if you get lost, just jump to the next page. Hallelujah. I keep writing. This is the bedrock of solid convictions in the gospel. Hallelujah. We're still writing. The scriptures are God's evidence and witness to his son, Jesus Christ. The scriptures are God's evidence and witness to his son, Jesus Christ. Let's see John chapter 1, verse 14. That is, listen, for the sake of those who might be joining for the first time in this series, we've been investigating and looking through scriptures, and we've seen now that the gospel is delivered to men from the Old Testament scriptures. From the Old Testament scriptures. Such that what we find in the Old Testament that makes it an evidence for the gospel are the promises of God. Amen. So God said, I will do this. I will do this. And then in the New Testament, Jesus came and did what? And fulfilled it. So, and I said to us that the promises of God and the prophecies make a difference. You don't find any religion in the entire world that has prophecies, hundreds of prophecies concerning what was to come. So that is what gives the gospel this element of divine inspiration. Hallelujah. That is, it is not that Jesus came and died and then later we're now trying to give a sense to that event. That event was foretold. Hallelujah. And Jesus' death and resurrection was only a fulfillment of the things they said. Glory to God. And I walked us through scriptures to see how that, including, you know, where he was born, how he was born, praise God, including how he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. Many of the things were said in total. We saw that there were no divine coincidences. Praise God. And then I shared out that when Jesus was to be born, they were not living in Bethlehem. But the prophet had already prophesied in Micah that Jesus was going to be born where? In Bethlehem. And then few hours to his birth, there was a change of policy, a decree by the government. And that was the reason why Jesus eventually was born in Bethlehem. Is that a coincidence? No. They saw it and they spoke about it by the Spirit of God. So you can't say, maybe it just happened like that. It didn't just happen. This is God's plan. Hallelujah. And he spoke about it before it happened. Glory to God. And then I walked us through Isaiah to see how that God was deliberate about this pattern. He wants men to know that the gospel is not a coincidence. The gospel is not a fluke. It's not a myth. It's not stories put together cunningly. It is God's plan. Glory to God. So, by looking through the promises of God, the Old Testament scriptures, we can say surely that really, God said these things and he kept to his word. So our faith is resting on God's faithfulness. Look at John 1, 45. So like I said to us, that the scriptures are God's evidence, the Old Testament scriptures. John 1, 41. Look at this carefully. Hallelujah. John chapter 1 and verse 41. Are you there? Let's all read together. One, two, go. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." So Philip said, "We have found the one whom Moses and all the prophets wrote about." That is the evidence. Hallelujah. Now let's write. It is clear that the Jews were looking forward to the coming of Christ. It is clear that the Jews were looking forward to the coming of Christ. Philip already knew that Moses in the law and also the prophet wrote about a certain Jesus. It is clear that the Jews were looking forward to the coming of Christ. Philip already knew that Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote about a certain Jesus. Now, this seems like a knowledge he had without any external influence. This seems like a knowledge he had without any external influence. That is, it would seem as though Philip just knew by himself. Looks like a knowledge he had without any external influence. That is, this was before Christ walked them through the scriptures concerning himself. This was before Christ walked them through the scriptures concerning himself. Where then did that information come from? Jesus hadn't taught them. Where did he get this information? Hallelujah. Let's investigate. Look at John, the same John 1. Let's read from verse 19. Glory to God. If your note is not up to date, praise God. As I'm going, you think it's too fast and all to catch up, don't worry. After class, just get the note from somebody like you do in school and write. Praise God. John 1:19. Let's look at this together. Now this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I'm not. Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said." Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees. And they asked him, saying, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them and said, "I baptize with water, but there comes one after me. There stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to lose." These things were done in Betabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, verse 29, let's read together. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Hallelujah. So John had a ministry. Listen, John had a ministry, right? As a foreigner. So what did John tell people about Jesus? That is the Lamb of God that takes away what? Now, do you also notice that the Pharisees and the chief priests and the elders, they had an expectation that somebody was coming? You know, that was why they sent to John to ask him, "Who are you?" And they said, "Are you the prophet? Are you Elijah? Are you the Christ? Why are you baptizing? We are none of these." So, generally, the Old Testament folks had an expectation, and that expectation came from their scriptures. Glory to God. Because the prophets continually spoke about the coming of a certain Messiah. So listen, while they had different interpretations about who the Messiah is, that is, some of them were expecting a political Messiah, some of them said, he can't be the Christ. We know where he's from. If he's the Christ, we will not know where he is. That is, they just wanted somebody to descend from heaven, tear the heavens, and then descend and deliver them. But they had different interpretations, but there was the same expectation. They knew somebody was coming. Hallelujah. So John said to them, this is the Lamb of God that takes away what? The sin of the world. Now, read further. Glory to God. Read further. Look at verse 30. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. Praise God. What is that information about? He's telling them about this person. Now look at the description. He was what? Before me. Glory to God. So that's not just anybody. That is somebody that is definitely greater than every other man. Hallelujah. For him to have been before John and he's still here. Praise God. He came after John, naturally. But John is saying he was before me. Glory to God. So that information was key. Look at verse 31. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with what? With water. Glory to God. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, do you know that John just explained the essence of water baptism? He said, I did not know him, but so that he will be revealed, I came baptizing with water. Nobody practiced water baptism till John the Baptist came. That's why that is his name. Praise God. John what? The Baptist. So he said the essence and the purpose of his baptism was to reveal Christ to people. It's amazing that John himself said, see, there is one standing after you, coming after you rather, that is behind, that is among you, that came after me. Me, I baptize with what? With water. He will baptize with what? He makes a distinction. The baptism of John is not the baptism of Jesus. Glory to God. John baptizes with water. Jesus baptizes with who? The Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. That's just a side note. So, but then, if you look down to verse 35. Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples. And looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, behold the Lamb of God. Verse 37, let's read together. The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and seeing them following, said to them, who do you seek? They said to him, Rabbi, which when translated means teacher. Where are you staying? He said to them, come and see. They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, Simon, you are Simon, son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated a stone. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael. Are you making the connection? Andrew and Peter had met the Messiah, right? Philip is also from that place. Glory to God. Then Jesus found Philip and said to him, follow me. Glory to God. Now, this Philip was the one that now went to meet Nathanael at verse 45 to say, we have found him whom Moses and all the prophets wrote about. So, where do you think the information came to Philip? Right? Did he just think about it? Or he was informed? Who must have informed him? Huh? It's not stated. Praise God. So, but there are three probable places where he could have gotten the information. Either from John the Baptist's disciples. Amen. Or either from John the Baptist, because John the Baptist was preaching publicly. Or from Andrew and Simon. Or from Jesus himself. Glory to God. So, they presented to them from the scriptures. The reason why Philip had a knowledge or a knowing about Jesus being the Christ was because of what he had been told. Glory to God. Now, what he was told must have come from those sources he cited. It says Moses in the law, right? And the prophets wrote about him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, let's see. So it is clear, let's write. It is clear Make sure you're writing. It is clear that the chief priests, Pharisees, and elders had their own expectations. You don't have a note? Kindly help him out. A notepad, a biro, a Bible. It is clear that the chief priests, Pharisees, and the elders had their own expectations too, based on the scriptures. Had their expectations based on the scriptures. You know, the Pharisees were always searching the scriptures. They were always studying. In the synagogue, they were always studying. So they might not have had a definite understanding of who the Messiah was or what the Messiah was coming to do, but they had an expectation that a Messiah was coming. Glory to God. Let's keep writing. You cannot be a student of the prophetic writings. You cannot be a student of the prophetic writings and not have an expectation of the Messiah. You cannot be a student of the prophetic writings and not have an expectation of the Messiah. Glory to God. Are you there? You cannot be a student of the prophetic writings and not have an expectation of the Messiah. And then let's walk through these scriptures together. John chapter 5 verse 39. Praise God. Hallelujah. Say to your neighbor, if this is strange to you, just adapt. Hallelujah. Say, just adapt. Hallelujah. Okay. Can we read together? Are you ready? John 5:39. Let's read through the scriptures. One, two, go. You said the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which what? Testify of me. Who does the scriptures testify about? Jesus. Hallelujah. Acts of Apostles chapter 3, verse 22 to 24. Acts 3, 22 to 24. Glory to God. Are you there? Acts 3, 22 to 24. Let's read together. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your brethren, him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Verse 24. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. As many as have spoken have foretold. So who were the prophets talking about? They had a singular message. Hallelujah. Let's go on. Acts of Apostles 10:43. Acts of Apostles chapter 10 and verse 43. Glory to God. Let's read together. Acts 10:43. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive what? The remission of sins. How many of the prophets? All. They gave witness to forgiveness of sins found in his name. Acts 13, 27 to 29. Acts 13, 27 to 29. Glory to God. Bible says, for those who dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not know him, nor even the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause for death in him, they asked Pilate that he should be put to death. Now when they had fulfilled all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. When they had fulfilled all that was written concerning him. Praise God. Listen, so it means the prophets had just one mission. Just one message. Glory to God. Re-echoing through all generations. They were talking about a certain person. He will come. One spoke about his birth. Another one spoke about the place he was born. Another one spoke about his person. The Lord himself shall give you a sign. And a virgin shall conceive. Hallelujah. The manner of his birth was prophesied. Glory to God. Even when he was on the cross, the kind of things that Jesus said on the cross was prophesied. A man called David was speaking about these things. My God, why have you forsaken me? That didn't happen to David. Praise God. They pierced my hand and they pierced my foot. It didn't happen to David. Praise God. He was speaking of things to come. He was crying as though he was the Christ. That is the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. So you don't look at those things and say they are coincidences. They are not. Glory to God. These are things that were prophesied, God's intention made known, and then God eventually fulfilled those things for us. Glory to God. So these are the evidences. We look at the prophetic writings and we see the evidence for the gospel. The things God said he would do. Praise God. Let's continue. Acts of Apostles 24 and verse 14. Acts 24 and verse 14. Hallelujah. Acts 24, 14, let's go. But this I confess to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written where? In the law. And in where? In the prophets. Hallelujah. Things written in the law of Moses consistently. The law of Moses and the prophets. Hallelujah. Acts of Apostles 26, 6 to 7. Acts of Apostles 26, 6 to 7. Paul speaking, he says, now I stand and I'm judged for the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers. To this promise, our 12 tribes, earnestly serving God night and day, hope to attain. Hallelujah. He says, I'm being judged for the hope of the promise made to our what? Our fathers. So, there were promises made. Amen. Those prophecies were what? God's promises. What God said he was going to do. That he eventually has come to do in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Look at verse 22 and 23 of the same chapter. Acts 26, 22 to 23. Glory to God. It says, therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand witnessing both to small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said will come. Verse 23, let's read together. That the Christ will suffer, and that he will be the first to rise from the dead and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. Is it the same things again? The same things consistently. Acts of Apostles. Look at 1 Peter now. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10 to 11. 1 Peter 1, 10 to 11. Bible says, of this salvation the prophets have inquired and said carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would what? Follow. He says the Spirit of Christ which was in the prophets. What was the Spirit of Christ in the prophets doing? Testifying of what? Of his sufferings and of his what? Of his glories. The sufferings speak of his death. Everything he faced from the cross to the grave. His glory speaks of his resurrection. Hallelujah. And his ascension. Since the prophet spoke about it. Glory to God. Look at this. 2 Peter 1, 19 to 21. 2 Peter 1, 19 to 21. This is how to have firm conviction in Christ. It is not before I count 1 to 20. Run to the altar. No, no, no. Those things don't bear conviction. Glory to God. It is not say after me. Say after me. Whether he has believed or not, it should just say after you. I believe God. See. The firm foundation of the Lord stands sure. Having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his. Hallelujah. It is not by water baptism. You can be a dry sinner dipped into water. Glory to God. You come out a wet sinner. Hallelujah. You just had a bath. What saves is the knowledge of Christ presented through the scriptures in the right manner. Have you noticed that they were going into the synagogues to teach unbelievers? And they were teaching like we are here in church. Because that is how faith is found. Glory to God. It must be presented well. So that when life trials and tests and all those things come, what you are standing on is firm. Amen. Come to Jesus, he will change your story. Super story. Praise God. Come to Jesus, he will change your story. That is not what we say. Indeed, he will change your story. But share the gospel with us. Hallelujah. Come to Jesus, he will take you to the next level. The man believes the gospel and he loses his job the next month. My God, where is your face? Praise God. Come to Jesus, your life will be smooth. Your life. The moment he believed from a Muslim family. And as he believed from the Muslim family, they eject him from the house. Forfeit his inheritance. He's thrown to the street. You said God will change his story. His story, praise God, that has changed. You cannot produce solid disciples by giving them empty promises. God has his own promises. Hallelujah. And those promises are the things the prophet wrote about. Any other promise is vain promise. Glory to God. God has what? His own promises. So the evidence for faith is the prophetic writings. What God said by the Spirit of Christ preaching through the prophet. 2 Peter 1:19-21. Glory to God. 2 Peter 1:19-21. Oh, hallelujah. Bible says, and so we have a more sure word of prophecy, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but only men of God spoke as they were moved by what? By the Holy Spirit. So you see that the scriptures, the prophets, those are the evidences. Peter just shared an experience. From verse 16, he says, We have not shared with you cunningly devised fables. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We saw him. We heard from the mountain a voice from the excellent glory saying, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. After all that, he now says, hey, forget all those experiences. We have a more sure word of prophecy, which you do well to pay attention to. Glory to God. So, they were not even preaching based on their experience. Though they saw Jesus, that was not the major thing they were presenting to men. For evidence, it says you do well to pay attention to the scriptures until the day dawns. Hallelujah. So in the scriptures, what would you find? The person of Christ. Praise God. What would you find in the scriptures? The person of Christ. Now, let's think a while. If the gospel is an explanation of the prophets and the prophetic writings are the things they gave men as evidence, let's think for a while. Where did people get all this business-centered, marriage-centered, politics-centered, socio-economic gospels that we have today? Amen. Did you get that? Let me ask you this question. Did the prophets prophesy about politics? You know, it sounds ridiculous. Yeah, Isaiah said, in the year 2020, PDP and APC will be having a problem. Did they prophesy about politics? Did they prophesy about business? Can you, from the prophetic writings, know that the business landscape will change? And will now be doing business online. Praise God. Did they prophesy about marriage? Huh? The only thing we find in the whole of the Old Testament books for marriage, is, and two shall no longer be two. Praise God. The man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. Glory to God. Genesis. Then you now come to some of the books. This is a particular book a lot of people like. Songs of Solomon. Praise God. You know, I like Songs of Solomon. Praise God. And why do you like it? Ah, very romantic. That Songs of Solomon was written by a man who had numerous wives and concubines. Glory to God. In fact, that book, Songs of Solomon, was not written to one of his original wives. Glory to God. And that's where you want to learn how to marry. Praise God. Did you see any of the apostles quoting Songs of Solomon? Glory to God. It's just like Ecclesiastes. Book of Ecclesiastes is a book of regrets. All is vanity. It's not me and you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Everything under the sun that I'm doing is not vanity. Praise God. Therefore, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Praise God. So the Christian has crossed that realm of all his vanity. Glory to God. So, but he was talking based on his limited knowledge of this life or everything under the sun. But you know, I'm saying to you, that book was written from a place of regrets. He started well as a king. Then he went after idols. He went after everything God commanded him not to go after. He married from strange lands. And then after his life, he said, I've tasted everything. Praise God. All is vanity. Glory to God. Then sometimes you find believers who use that phrase to witch hunt their fellow brethren. See a man who has gotten a new car, he said, all is vanity. Praise God. You are actually right. All is vanity. A new car is vanity. An old car is vanity. Praise God. So, yes, choose your vanity. So, so somebody used that for me some years back. He said, all this air I'm doing, he said, vanity. I said, even this your low cut is vanity. Hallelujah. So you can choose your vanity. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's enlightenment. But the point is, the prophets were not speaking about business, politics, marriage. They had a collective witness to the person of Christ. And the New Testament books were explanations of the prophetic writings. That's the reason why the gospel is Christ-centered. It has to be. Hallelujah. He is the one who died. Don't come to church and be reading off your biography. Praise God. Experiences in life. You really? Glory to God. When I was a child, I had no shoes. See, go and sit down. What we are to preach from the Bible is the person of Christ and what he has done. Hallelujah. Because this is what you find in the prophets. Revelation 19:10. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 10. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The way to listen to this message is not to think about any preacher. Amen. As I'm talking, don't be thinking about, what about that preacher? Just forget everybody now. And let's focus on our own lives. Praise God. Because that's the reason why people don't receive sometimes. It is not about anybody. It's about God's word. Amen. Revelation 19 and verse 10. Bible says, and I fell at his feet to worship him. This is John. Fell at the feet of an angel. And then he said to me, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is what? Is the spirit of prophecy. The essence of the prophetic writings is to testify to Jesus. Hallelujah. No, that's what Jesus said at John 5:39. He says, you are searching the scriptures, but you are not willing to come to me. These are they who testify of who? Of me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's write. So you see how the kerygma was proclaimed. So you see how the kerygma was proclaimed. So you see how the kerygma was proclaimed. Kerygma is K-E-R-Y-G-M-A. You see how the kerygma was proclaimed? One, they proclaimed it as a fulfillment of God's promises. One, they proclaimed it as a fulfillment of God's promises. Two, they presented the evidence from the prophetic scriptures. One, they proclaimed it as the fulfillment of God's promises. Two, they presented the evidence from the prophetic scriptures. Three, they revealed Christ alone from the scriptures. One, they proclaimed it as a fulfillment of God's promises. Two, they presented the evidence from the prophetic scriptures. Three, they revealed Christ alone from the scriptures. Say with me, they revealed Christ alone from the scriptures. Say it again, they revealed Christ alone from the scriptures. Hallelujah. Let's keep writing. Any attempt to use the scriptures differently is nothing but an abuse. Any attempt to use the scriptures differently is nothing but an abuse of the Holy Writ. Nothing but an abuse of the Holy Writ. Holy Writ. Writ is spelled W-R-I-T. It is nothing but an abuse of the Holy Writ. Hallelujah. Let's keep writing. The scriptures are given as an evidence for Christ alone. The scriptures are given as an evidence for Christ alone. Does this excite you? Hallelujah. The scriptures are given as what? An evidence for Christ alone. Glory be to God. Now listen, that's the reason why when people want to preach all those earthly ideologies, they have to consult extra biblical materials. Amen. If I want to teach you business, for instance, in the church, business principles, I can't teach from the Bible. I have to use other materials that are secular, because there is no material for business in the Bible. Glory to God. Also, are you aware that business changes the way we do business? They always update it. Imagine if they had spoken and taught us about business from the times of Jesus. We will fail. Praise God. We will fail. So, business changes. The reason why it is all about Jesus is because that's the only person that does not change. So, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In every generation, the gospel will always be relevant because the problems are the same. And the gospel is the same. Hallelujah. But when it comes to other matters, other things, it will always change. And you have the liberty to always adapt to new trends, new, you know, level of information, but not so with the Bible. Because the Bible witnesses to a constant person. Hallelujah. A constant what? Person. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Listen, let me quickly knock off some of the myths that exist today, which is the reason why people say, you know, this generation has changed. We are living in a different time. The apostles and Christ, they lived in a different time. We also, we are living in a different time. We can't just be preaching the way they preach. We can't be, you know, all those things, they sound good. And then people will tell you, we are living in a digital age. So what has that got to do with changing the gospel? Hallelujah. As the art of man become digital, digital age, but the human heart that is evil and desperately wicked is not digital. It's the same heart. Glory to God. What we are seeing in the digital age is a globalization, praise God, of the evil of man. Nothing has changed. In every generation, this generation, we have very serious issues. Imagine they are legislating homosexuality. Very bad. It's not new now. Sodom and Gomorrah, all of them, is that not legislator? All of them were homosexuals. Glory to God. In this generation, they have started eating people. They used to eat people back in those days too. There is nothing that is different. We only have it in greater intensity. Number one, because we are now more. Hallelujah. But it's the same. So the gospel to address those issues is the same gospel that fixed them then. Hallelujah. We don't need an update. We don't need to tweak it. The same gospel, raw. Amen. Someone said, are you now saying we cannot use different approach? Was Jesus on Facebook? Facebook is not message. Praise God. Facebook is platform. In those days, they used scrolls. Today, we have paper. Amen. So, that's not the message. Did Jesus use microphone? Those comparisons are awkward. Amen. Microphone is amplifier for my voice. It is not the message. So, those are not the things we're talking about. We're talking about the message. It must not be altered. Hallelujah. Because the scriptures are not subject to private interpretation. No, the moment you kidnap the Bible for other things, that is what is called private interpretation. You are interpreting it based on your own preconceived notions. The scriptures already have a witness. Somebody said to me, the Bible can mean different things to different people. Then I said, this thing you just said, can I interpret it to mean that what you are saying is that there's no Bible? He said, no. What I mean is that the Bible can mean different things. What I'm hearing is that there's no Bible. Praise God. No, that's not what, don't misquote me. That's what I heard. Hallelujah. You know what I was doing for him? I was applying to him what he's trying to apply to the Bible. Can you say one thing in this hall now, and we all can decide to make it say anything? Won't you be angry? Praise God. So the Bible is definite. The message is definite. It was not written in tongues. It was written in human language. This grammar is exact. Hallelujah. So God so loved the world. Is God so loved the world? It cannot mean God loves some of us. Glory to God. So the scriptures are not subject to private what? Interpretation. We must stay with how they explained the scriptures. And we have seen so far that they explained the prophetic scriptures and the writings of the prophets as a Christ-centered material. Praise God. It is Christ-centered. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14 to 17. 2 Timothy 3, 14 to 17. Glory to God. You are free to get up, stretch. Praise God. This is class. 2 Timothy and chapter 3, and I'll read from verse 14. Bible says, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise for what?" What are the scriptures able to make you wise unto? Salvation. What is salvation? Salvation is a very big package. It comprises of everything. No, it's not true. Hallelujah. Salvation is about Jesus and it is found in Christ alone. It is not a total package. Glory to God. If you must use the phrase total package, it's total package of the things in Christ. Amen. So what are the scriptures able to make us wise unto? Salvation. True faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto what? All good works. So if a man focuses on Christ, he will be built up for every good work. He doesn't need any extra focus. Amen. So like I said to you, we don't rely on the Bible to learn how to do business. You will need to be very mischievous to have such a submission. Amen. Listen, there's this idea of we have to learn everything from the Bible, and that's where we're going now. We have to learn everything. Don't limit our God. Hallelujah. You cannot limit our God. I'm not limiting your God. Amen. Your God, praise God, has chosen to limit the Bible to the things that are of Christ. It's so simple. Where do you think scientists get their knowledge from? Is it the devil that inspires innovations and all those things? Answer, yes or no? Is it the devil that inspires innovations? Is it the devil that inspires innovations? You can't answer well. See, some people go to Jaruma. Please go. Hallelujah. Okay. The devil cannot inspire anything good. He can only inspire a wrong use of what is good. Praise God. So you can't find the devil inspired. It can't be the devil that inspired cars and you are still buying it. Praise God. And when you buy it, you still do thanksgiving. And it's from the devil. Praise God. It's not the devil. So, but where is that knowledge from? Is it from the scriptures? Or it's intuitive? Is there intuitive knowledge? Is there room for imagining things and inventing after your imagination? Yes. In fact, the human mind is so powerful in imagination, they imagined God and made images. Amen. Your God said, it must be a cartoon. Praise God. It must be crocodile. And they made images. That's what Paul said at Romans 1. They made things made like unto creeping things and animals. So men can innovate. Glory to God. That is why we go to school. Isn't that it? We are to learn everything from the Bible, but you have to go to school to go and obtain degree. Amen. When they call you for interview, go and tell them I'm a Bible scholar. Let's see if you get the job. Nobody employs a Bible scholar.
Amen.
Even when they put it there, God fearing candidates, it's still a scam. Praise God. Fear God till tomorrow. If you don't know what they are saying, you should come and do, you won't get the job. Praise God. I've always wondered, we are just so religious in Africa. What is God fearing candidate? I don't need you to fear God. There's police, there's mopo. If you like, fear God or not fear God. Do my work or not, we'll arrest you. Praise God. It's simple. Hallelujah. So, the scriptures serve one purpose. To reveal Jesus. Hallelujah. Make you wise unto salvation. All those things that we listed earlier. Listen, business, politics, marriage, all those things. They are not spiritual things. Do you know this? Business is not spiritual. Do you think business is spiritual? Money is not spiritual, is it? It is not. That is why the carnal man, the natural man, can do well in those things. But see, when it comes to spiritual things, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:14, let's see it together. I don't like to quote this morning. Let's see it together. So you can see it by yourself. And then we'll go through the whole of 1 Corinthians 2. Those things are not spiritual things. So there was no need for the Spirit of God to be dabbling into those things. I'm talking about them extensively. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I'll read from verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him. I determined to know nothing except what? Who is speaking? Paul, an apostle, right? He says, I determined to know what? Nothing except. Isn't that too rigid? Isn't it being too dogmatic? Praise God. Isn't that an extreme? Your members, don't they need to learn soap making? Glory to God. Look at these ladies that are already ripe for marriages. Can't you teach them how to attract the brethren? I determined to know nothing else except Christ and Him crucified. Because everything else can be learned whether you're a Christian or not. Hallelujah. See, in our church, if we don't teach these things, people will not know it too, because the people are not intelligent. Why wouldn't they know it? Hallelujah. You know, there are Christians who despise everything secular. There's a seminar somewhere. Say, I believe God. I trust God. Amen. Some Christians don't read for exams. Is that bad? They will go and look for magical Bible, prophetic Bible. And they told you the Bible will write by itself. And you are not afraid. Praise God. Does the Bible have brain to be writing? Jazz. And different testimonies have not helped. I didn't go to class. They saw my shadow. I didn't go to You didn't go to write the exam. They saw you in class. Praise God. You know, somebody shared testimony of how she did so poorly in the exam hall and she got 70. So they now collected the script and discovered that it was zero. The person now wrote question mark. Wait, what is this? The person that was now recording thought it was 70. Praise God. Then she came to church, she was excited, shared testimony. Hallelujah. So you see such human mistakes. Say, that's favor. That's the favor of God. So you think God backs up lazy people? Favor of God. Wait until that person that was favored is your employee in the future. You discover that because he didn't pass in school, he will destroy your company with the favor of God on him. Hallelujah. See, we just say things loosely. Hallelujah. Say things loosely. I determined to know nothing else except Jesus and Him crucified. He had to limit himself to that because that is what the scriptures serve to reveal. To go beyond this is to go beyond the Bible. Hallelujah. Let's continue. I was with you in witness, in fear, and in more trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, So that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. What he calls enticing words of human wisdom are those earthly secular ideologies. Says, I determined to know Jesus alone. Now look at the next verse. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature. Yet not the wisdom of this age. Say with me, not the wisdom of this age. That is, he's making a distinction between the wisdom of God and the wisdom that is in this world. You know, many times people just say, ah, that pastor, words on the marble, wise words, is full of wisdom. And when you investigate the wisdom, you discover that it's just about the things of this life. The wisdom we preach is a person. Hallelujah. The wisdom we preach is a person. You don't find this wisdom elsewhere. Hallelujah. Once upon a time, a friend of mine went for a meeting in a church, and then the pastor was teaching them some things along the lines of leadership. And after the meeting, he had written like this extensively. Then he got home, and somebody gave him a book, 21 Laws of Leadership, or Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. So he started reading, and it was like he was rereading the seminar. Praise God. Everything in that book. Some preachers preach from Brian Tracy's books. Praise God. Donald Trump. Robert Kiyosaki. Glory to God. Those books are good. I mean, I have them. You can read those books to develop yourself, you know, for business, self-development, learn about finances and all those things. They are very good. And God is not against them. But it is the wisdom of this life. Glory to God. It is the wisdom of what? This life. Saw a pastor teaching members how to kiss. Isn't it amazing? Say, if we don't teach them, they won't know how to do it well. Something they've been doing since primary school. Some people, in primary school, they start kissing. Praise God. That is what you want to come and teach in church. It doesn't make sense. Hallelujah. It doesn't make sense. How many of you had girlfriends in primary 2 or primary 3? Don't lie. You had a crush in primary 3. The kind of things that we knew. Glory to God. It's intuitive knowledge. Hallelujah. The same way you didn't need to teach a man where to put food. He said, hey baby, you now put food here. He said, no, that's not your mouth. He knows where the mouth is. You see, babies, when they give birth to them, he's taking his mouth everywhere he wants to. He knows that is where food passes through. It's intuitive. There are certain things like that. They are intuitive. There are other things you have to learn from those who have the experience. Glory to God. But when it comes about learning about Jesus, when it comes to learning about Jesus, the gospel, the only material to consult is the Bible. That is where you find exclusive knowledge and information about Jesus. Glory to God. And what do you find? Listen, in every other kind of knowledge, you find personal development. In the scriptures, you find spiritual growth. There are two different things. Write this down. In every other kind of knowledge, you find personal development. In the scriptures, you find spiritual growth. That is, as a saint, an unbeliever finds salvation, and then the believer finds spiritual growth. In every other kind of knowledge, you find personal development. So listen, how to attract clients, all those things are personal development. Self-development. How to thrive in the world of politics, those things are just personal development. And the problem today, listen, the reason why people cannot discern is because they would always add to you. Do you know? So you go to church and your life is really getting better. You understand? So you can't say, they are not teaching well. Because after church service, you understood how to relate with your clients better, customer relations, and then you are doing it better, and then you are excelling in your business. So you are like, something is happening. But no. It would have been good if that school was a business school. Praise God. But if it's a church, then what is by Saturday lower, be Sunday lower. Hallelujah. Because the essence of the church is not to fulfill the same assignment of Harvard Business School. Glory to God. A pastor can be a business coach, but not as a pastor. He can have an institution for that. When it comes to church, it is to feed us with Christ. Praise God. Just like a pastor can be a lecturer in the university, but when it comes to the church, he feeds us with who? With Christ. The church is for spiritual edification. That is where you find spiritual growth. And the scriptures serve this purpose. Hallelujah. Let's keep reading. So, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, not the wisdom of this age, which was ordained, but the wisdom of, we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery, the hidden wisdom ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. As it is written, I have not seen, nor hear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Verse 10, let's read together. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God, except the Spirit of God. Listen, listen. No one knows the things of God, except what? So, listen, that means every other thing that can be known without the Spirit of God are not the things of God. Amen. He says the things of God are known only by what? By the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Has an unbeliever invented great and mighty things in this world? Yes. Who invented Facebook? Is he a Christian? All right. Praise God. Who invented the aeroplane, aircraft? Are they Christians? They must be Christians. Oh, those ones must be Christians. I've said all over. It's not really proven that they were Christians. Hallelujah. But isn't it a very powerful innovation that we can fly like that? Amen. Do you know people are already inventing body parts? Have you heard it? They're going to print body parts. You need a heart surgery, and they'll print out a heart and put it into you. Battery new, actually. Praise God. So, but to work, you need a kidney, they'll print it out. Aren't those staggering innovations? Do men need the Spirit of God to have that? No. Dubai is not a Christian nation. Nigeria, we have many Christians, many churches, several pastors. Hallelujah. Look at where we are. Glory to God. We do well in the aspect of prayer. Amen. But as it is, prayer is not on the stock exchange. Glory to God. So, our economy is not really doing well. Israel, he came to his own rejected him. Israel has one of the strongest economies in the whole world. A nation in unbelief. That was the nation that crucified Jesus. Hallelujah. We pray, we fast. Some people fast and die. All manner. But look at where we are as a nation. Praise God. During the lockdown, a major concern for Nigerians was what to eat. If they lock down, will we survive like this? Will we? Praise God. Including Christians who have said they have covenant keys. Those keys got missing during the lockdown. Praise God. And people were looking for, what did they call that again? Palliative. Hallelujah. Because when it comes to all those advancements, it is not Bible. Glory to God. Nation building. That's not the work of the church. You cannot build a nation until you are part of House of Assembly, House of Representatives, Senators, praise God, governors, politicians, Oshelu. Amen. Whatever you are building, they can rise up tomorrow and destroy everything. Nation building is for those who are building nation. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. That's why we are not paying tax to the church. We pay tax to government. Glory to God.
So imagine if our work was to build the nation. Imagine during coronavirus, everything was on hold. Don't go to work. So the mission of the church, they just paused it. Jesus' work, they just paused it. That's not our mission. Because there is no curriculum or syllabus for nation building in the Bible. It is about the salvation of souls and the maturity of the saints. And the scriptures are the materials. Glory to God. So, it is not about how to make money. It is about how God will transform your life to a point where money will not have a hold on you. Amen. You will not be greedy, covetous. You will not do any kind of thing just because of money. And when you eventually have the money, you are generous. You are not proud. So, it is not how to get a job. It is when you get the job, it says you don't relate at your workplace as an unbeliever. Hallelujah. It says to maintain fidelity. A Christian that is stealing at the place of work, that is an aberration. God's word will transform your life. Fruit, character, conduct. Glory to God. But because the emphasis has changed, you find people who are believers and are not living that life in every sphere. I showed you this before in this place, that all that the Bible says, New Testament says about marriage, is about the believer's what? Conduct in marriage. Glory to God. That's not where you learn how to do many things in marriage. That's why there are books on marriage that if you buy them and you read them, you will do well as a spouse. Glory to God. And you know, some of those books are not necessarily written by believers. Just normal ethics. Do you know there's a way to conduct yourself if you go to somebody's house as a visitor? Do you know? And there's no place like that in the Bible for it. But if you go into another person's house and you just enter the kitchen, you eat everything, you eat two pomo, eat three meat. I mean, by the time they start showing you the way out, don't say they are evil. Glory to God. You get into a person's house and then you just enter any room to go and sleep. People do that. Some people will wash their own plate and just drop it. You see every other person, they will get there, wash everybody's plate. Some people even drop their own plate. Glory to God. So ethics, those normal, you know why those things can be learnt in the world? Because those things were learnt by experience. People learnt it by experience. Years of research, human psychology, how people respond, behavior. It's not Bible. Praise God. So if I go to school, for instance, and the lecturer is always coming, say, today I want to teach you geography, let's turn to Ecclesiastes, I'll just leave. It sounds spiritual, but it's nonsense. It's the same way if you come to church, and if I come to church and the man now begins to try to spiritualize some earthly ideologies, I'll walk out. Because the Bible is for who? It's for Christ. Hallelujah. It's for Christ. What he has done, who we are in him, and how to walk in the same. Let's continue. Look at verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by who? By God. What are the things we know by the spirit of God? What are the things we know by the spirit of God? The things that have been what? Freely given to us by who? By God. Our inheritance in Christ. Those are the things Jesus has fulfilled for you and I. Glory to God. Now look at verse 13. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14, let's all read together. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually what? Discerned. He says the natural man does not receive the things of God. Can a natural man relate with business? Can he relate with politics? Can he relate with marriage tips? And other things. He says, but a natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit. Because all those things he can relate with are not spiritual things. So what offends the natural man is to say that Jesus died for your sin. He said, I'm not a sinner. He said, no, Bible says all have sinned. No. You can't tell me that. He's an agnostic. Tells you there's nothing like sin. It offends him. Hallelujah. You say to a man, God gives you the gift of righteousness if you believe. He says, eh? Is that simple? Gift of righteousness. He's offended. It takes the Holy Ghost to make him see it.
Hallelujah. So those are the things that God has revealed to us by the scriptures. Now, these are the things the Bible refers to as the deep things of God. That's what we found there. The deep things of God. So, don't let anybody deceive you. See, in this church, we are doing, we are still studying scriptures about salvation, scriptures about righteousness, what God has done for us, but we'll soon get to very deep things. Praise God. It's a deception. Those things we are studying, salvation, that's the deep thing of God. Hallelujah. That is the depth. What Christ has done for you and I. Glory to God. Any other depth is a sinking sand. Hallelujah. Sinking sand. There's no depth there. What Christ has done, plainly revealed through the scriptures. Glory be to God. Let's write. Do you know? Do you notice rather? Did you notice that what he calls the deep things of God are spiritual things? Did you notice that what he calls the deep things of God are spiritual things? Hallelujah. Spiritual things. So, you know, so far I've shown us the kerygma was presented as a fulfillment of God's promises. It was also presented as something that has evidence in the scriptures. Also, it was used to reveal Jesus alone from the scriptures. And I said to you, do you notice that those things that are referred to as deep things are spiritual things? Amen. Let's keep writing. Those are the things you need to study the Bible to know. Those are the things you need to study the Bible to know. Those are the things you need to study the Bible to know. Hallelujah. So when preparing for an exam, what should you be reading? Your books. Hallelujah. Okay, I will read my Bible. I have more understanding than my teachers. Eh? Which teachers? Praise God. Which teachers was David talking about? You think it was teachers teaching geography and chemistry? Glory to God. No, read your books. If you want to know about Jesus, what do you read? The Bible. If you want to grow spiritually, what do you read? Want to learn to forgive others? What do you read? Learn to walk in love? What do you read? Learn to sew dress? What do you read? Go to fashion school. Hallelujah. A pastor is not a business coach. A pastor is not a life coach. He himself is under Jesus. Praise God. The giver of eternal life. He cannot coach you in this life. Praise God. He's also learning, following Jesus carefully. A pastor is not a jack of all trades, multi-purpose man. If you want to fix water in your house, he knows the secret. If you want, no, I don't know all things. Hallelujah. I don't know all things. There are things you'll be talking about and I'll have to listen to you because it's your field. Praise God. It's your field. So let's not have this funny idea that the pastor knows everything and is to be teaching everything. No. He is to feed men with the knowledge of Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's keep writing. The word scriptures as used at 2 Timothy 3:15 is the word grammar. The word scriptures as used at 2 Timothy 3:15 is the word grammar. G-R-A-M-M-A. It's the same pronunciation with grammar, English. Grammar. G-R-A-M-M-A. Is the word grammar in the Greek. And it means sacred writings. Praise God. From the definition alone, you discover that these are things that are not found in the world. It says they are sacred writings. They are not things you find amongst men. They are not common. They are not common things. They are sacred. Amen. Because the things they are revealing are sacred things. So you don't find those things among men generally. That wisdom is only found in God. Glory to God. Let's keep writing. It's often used for the law of Moses. It's often used for the law of Moses. It's often used for the law of Moses. It is translated letter. Letter. At Romans 2:27. Romans 2:27. It's often used for the law of Moses. It is translated letter. At Romans 2:27. Romans 2:29. Romans 7:6. 2 Corinthians 3:6. The letter that kills is the law of Moses. Hallelujah. Anybody here, you think the letter that kills refers to Bible study? As we are studying scriptures like this, say, don't just focus on the letter. That letter will kill you. No, it will not kill you. The letter that kills is the law. The law. It calls it the ministration of death, written and engraved on stones. Hallelujah. It's also translated writings at John 5:47. If you have believed in his writings, that is Moses' writings, you will have believed in me. Writings, John 5:47. That is, it is used for the Old Testament writings. It is used for the Old Testament writings. It is used for the Old Testament writings. So, Paul, in affirming that Timothy was made wise for salvation. Unto salvation from the scriptures. Was in essence saying that Timothy studied the promises of God in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. Are we all there? So, the doctrine of Christ has its evidence in the Old Testament. We're still writing. Another paragraph. The word doctrine. When you hear doctrine, the word doctrine is the Greek word didaskalia. The word doctrine is the Greek word didaskalia. I'll spell that D-I-D-A-S-K-A-L-I-A. Didaskalia. D-I-D-A-S-K-A-L-I-A. That's doctrine. And it means teaching. It means what? Teaching. Doctrine is teaching. Hallelujah. So when somebody says, we don't do doctrine in this church, what does that even mean? What he just said is a doctrine. Praise God. I don't believe in doctrine. I believe in practicals. That statement is a doctrine. Praise God. Because doctrine means what? Teaching. Anything that is taught is doctrine. So that's why it can be the doctrine of Christ or false doctrine. Doctrine just means teaching. Glory to God. Listen. There's a way people think about doctrine. Doctrine is not just a system of constitutional laws. No. Doctrine is Bible teaching. Amen. What are we doing this morning? We are teaching. So, this is doctrine. Hallelujah. The teaching. So, it means teaching. It means that which is taught. It is verbal indoctrination. Or instructions. We are writing. It is verbal indoctrination or instructions. The word reproof. is the Greek word elenkos. The word reproof is the Greek word elenkos. Don't spell it with your knowledge of English or Yoruba language or anything. Let me spell for you. E-L-E-G-C-H-O-S. E-L-E-G-C-H-O-S. So if you were to pronounce it with your knowledge of English, it would be elektos. But that's not the pronunciation. The pronunciation is elenkos. Elenkos in the Greek. It means a proof. Hallelujah. When we say the scriptures are given for reproof, we are saying the scriptures are given as a proof. It also means evidence. Proof. Evidence. Hallelujah. So, turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy again. Let's go through it. 2 Timothy 3, 16. I want to point out something to you. 2 Timothy 3, 16. Reproof means proof. It means evidence. The scriptures are given for evidence. So are we all there? 2 Timothy 3, 16. If you yawn and you feel sleepy, it's normal. Praise God. Say to your neighbor, it is a normal thing. Yeah, it's a normal thing. So dust it off. You are learning. Hallelujah. The only time you will not be feeling sleepy and all is if you were dancing. Hallelujah. Or watching season movies. Glory to God. Yeah, but if it's learning, you will get tired. You get. But then it will, the impact of the knowledge will happen later. Glory to God. So just stay. So 2 Timothy 3, 16. All scripture is given and is profitable for what? Profitable for what? What is doctrine? And then profitable for what again? So what is the scriptures profitable for? Reproof. What is reproof? Evidence. Proof. So if we want to preach, teach about Jesus, where do we go? Not experiences. Hallelujah. Not something appeared to me. I saw something somewhere. And then, no. Scriptures are given for that. Anything you want to show us as pertaining to God, Christ, the things of the Spirit, must be from where? The scriptures. Amen. Then, giving for reproof, and then for what? Correction. Correction means to straighten up. So the scriptures straighten up our perspective or perception about God. Hallelujah. You say, God can just change his mind today as we are seated in this place and we are not really hallowing him. He can just tear the heavens down and destroy all of us. The scriptures correct such a perspective. Amen. Because in Christ, God is predictable. Glory to God. We know what God cannot do. And we know what God can do. Glory to God. I don't have a notion of a God who, if I don't give him pocket money, he'll be chasing me down through the month. What is pocket money? Tithe. Praise God. Say, because you have not given my money this month. God, is that why I'm sick? Yes. By the time you pay it, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. Hallelujah. And that's a father. Hallelujah. Does it make sense? Your father is relying on money to rebuke the devourer for your sake. Glory to God. So you are on insurance. What do they call this? Life assurance. Praise God. The year you default, they take the hands off you. Does it make sense? We can predict God. If you lose your phone the month you did not pay tithe or give offering in church and you lose your phone, it's just one of those things. Amen? Yes. For there are many who have paid tithe and have also lost things. But the reason why they will not connect it to the tithe is because they paid it. So, but for you that defaulted, you will now link it to it. Hallelujah. If there's abundance in your house, it is not because you are paying tithe. For there are many who are paying tithe and things are still tithe. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, there are also people who are very stingy. Amen. E.g., Nigerian politicians. And they are very rich. Glory to God. There are those who don't give. And they are always receiving. In fact, that's why they are rich. Because if it never leaves your hand and it's always coming, you must be rich. Jesus told the parable of a man that we call the rich fool. That man was not a generous man, was he? But he had a groundbreaking harvest. He had such a harvest that he had to build other barns to hold it. And he was not a generous man. Praise God. Yet there was another generous woman that we refer to as somebody who gave a widow's mite. She was generous. She was a widow. She gave her widow's mite. They collected it. Amen. And she went home with nothing. Jesus said, the rich have put in little from their treasures. This woman has given all her livelihood. And she went home like that. Do you know that in Israel, in those days, they were not meant to collect money from her? Do you know this? Do you know that widows were meant to be catered for by the chief priests, all those elders? So they were not meant to collect money from widows. The system had deteriorated to a point where they were still collecting from widows that they were meant to be taken care of. Hallelujah. So all those things are corrected. The scriptures are given for correction. So the next time you hear somebody say something that offends your perspective or theology about God, don't be quick to fight it or resist it. The question to ask is this what the scripture says? Can we find an evidence from the Bible? When we find that evidence, we should submit all preconceived notions. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He gives and he takes away. It's in the Bible. But who said it? Job. In the days of adversity, the New Testament does not teach that God gives and takes away. It says every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of light, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. He doesn't give and take. If he gives and take, that's variation and shadow of turning. Hallelujah. So the Bible corrects your perspective. The scriptures, they serve to correct our mindset about God. And then what else is there? Doctrine, reproof, correction, and what? Instruction in. What is instruction? Instruction in, that's the word that means to nurture, padia. It means to nurture. It's not verbal teaching. It's not giving you instruction. Go and do this. It is nurturing you. It is hands-on training. Praise God. That's the same word used for fathers. Ephesians 4, Ephesians 6 rather. It says, fathers, do not provoke your children, but bring them up in the admonition or the nurture of God. The way a man brings up his child, by training, instruction, example, and all that, everything involved. That's instruction in righteousness. So what will you find in that? Look at your Bibles. Instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be what? Thoroughly furnished for what? In fact, it says that the man of God may be complete. Right? The word complete then means maturity. So what do you find in the scriptures? What do you find in the scriptures? I just said it now. What do you find in the scriptures? Maturity. And in turn, that maturity makes you effective for every good work. Glory to God. So how do we know a man who has learnt the scriptures? How do we know a man who has learnt the scriptures? He's spiritually mature. And then he's effective in doing good works. Glory be to God. It's as simple as that. So a man can have first class in school without studying the scriptures. Amen. So we don't look at that and say, this guy must be a Christian. That has nothing to do with being a Christian. Amen. In fact, sometimes for being a Christian, you may not have a, praise God, in your exam. If you don't use wisdom, glory to God. So that a day before the exam, you were in Law Lecture Theater or maybe open field, having vigil. Glory to God. Then get to class and your eyes is seeing plus and minus in the place where they put plus. You can't see well. You will fail. Glory to God. For being a Christian, if you don't use wisdom, you may not succeed in certain things. The day I see some churches, they hold meetings on Monday morning, Tuesday morning. How do we do that? Praise God. Say, well, they are all entrepreneurs. That's true. They own their businesses, so they don't have to resume somewhere. But do you know that's a bad way to do entrepreneurship? If you don't, as an entrepreneur, work for yourself the way you work for somebody else, you cannot succeed. Hallelujah. You just wake up, DSTV, anything that goes, then you go and check something you are doing. You cannot succeed. You must work for yourself like you are working for somebody. Glory to God.
So, you can have all kinds of earthly successes, and it is not a proof of being a sound Christian. But when we see that you are maturing in the faith, your knowledge of God is accurate. Your lifestyle is showcasing the fruit of the Spirit. God's love finding expression through you. You find it easy to forgive and let go. Not that when somebody offends you, we have to look for town crier. Praise God. Somebody to call a meeting. Then look for people who are playing talking drum to give you your praises. Praise God. Something that will make your head swell. And after you now struggle to smile, say, don't do that again. No. Don't do that again. No. It's just because pastor came up. Praise God. That's a very bad evidence. A very bad evidence. That's a sign you are not growing. Hallelujah. So, it is not also because you have money, we want to look at how you relate to people in spite of being rich. Humility. Amen. Generosity. Can you be a rich man that will just be in the midst of people like us? Amen. You just come around and you will not despise me. You will not say, show me your account. Praise God. Before I can be accountable to you, you don't say such things. Glory to God. We look at your life, your conduct in the midst of the saints and even in the midst of unbelievers. That's the evidence of growth. Hallelujah. And then we now see how you are passionate about the work of Jesus. You are doing the work of ministry. You are passionate about the saints. That is what you gain when you study the Bible. That is what 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17 says. Scriptures are given for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be mature, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Hallelujah. Anything short of this, you are not a student of the Bible. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's move on. So, the gospel is a doctrine. So the gospel is a doctrine that has an evidence clearly seen in the scriptures. The gospel is a doctrine that has an evidence clearly seen in the scriptures. Make sure you're writing. So the gospel is a doctrine that has an evidence clearly seen in the scriptures. We are not calling people to a blind faith. We are not calling people to a blind faith. Glory to God. We are not calling people to a blind faith, no. But to a knowledge-based and evidence-based faith. We are not calling people to a blind faith, but to a knowledge-based and evidence-based faith. Hallelujah. You're lost? Keep writing. We are not calling people to a blind faith, but to a knowledge-based and evidence-based faith. And keep writing. While you get the note for her. So just leave some space. We are not calling people to a blind faith, but to a knowledge-based and evidence-based faith. Glory to God. Hallelujah. To a knowledge-based and evidence-based faith, which comes from the Word of God. Full stop. Men are to believe what was spoken by the prophets concerning Christ. Men must believe what was spoken by the prophets concerning Christ. Look at Luke's Gospel chapter 24. Are you here? Luke 24. So you see that, listen, you see that's the evidence Jesus also gave them. I've told you this before, that Jesus went to the grave, died, 3 days he was buried, and then he rose again, and he began to teach from the scriptures. He didn't rise again from the dead to start telling them how he met Satan, and they began to fight. And he didn't give all those gists.
Several years back, I watched the preacher that said when Jesus was in hell, for the first 3 days, they were beating him. He got so weak. Demons were rallying around him. He was so weak, he could do nothing. Then on the third day, he just turned around. Woo! Hallelujah. Okogan, show me your back. So he just gave one uppercut. This one, bah, he just rose again triumphantly. That preacher was not there. Hallelujah. Jesus that was there did not tell us. Amen. You see, it's funny. The evidence Jesus gave was from where? The scriptures. He rose again. And look at what he said. Luke 24, verse 25. Luke 24, 25. Then he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, in all the scriptures, he expounded to them the things concerning himself. Hallelujah. That was after his resurrection. He got up and said to them, see, you are slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Don't you know that Christ ought to have suffered, be buried, and then to enter into his glory? Bible says he now began showing them from Moses, all the prophets, in all the scriptures, he was showing them things written about himself. That is the evidence. Hallelujah. They saw him rise again from the dead. They had an evidence that he had risen again. But the explanation of his death and resurrection is not found in the fact that they saw him. It is seen only in the scriptures. Because anybody can die. Praise God. Anybody can also rise again. Lazarus died and he was raised to life. Praise God. Like somebody said, in Bible days, all the people that died and rose again did not tell us anything from the dead, from the realm of the dead. But these days, somebody will faint 2 minutes and you have seen this. Praise God. See this. Encounter with Jesus. Just 2 minutes fainting. You have seen everything. Hallelujah. And you know, believers, because believers are not Bible students, you just fall for it. We like things that thrill us. Amen. When I was in Ghana, a man released a tape and they played it for us in church. And I sat down there, I was shaking my head. All manner of lies in the DVD. Said in heaven, the moment your name begins to blink, says your name is also, all our names are always written in gold. But by time begins to blink, maybe it's not 18 carats, begins to blink. Hallelujah. By time begins to blink, you know, it's about to be removed from the book of life. Hallelujah. People are seeing visions of a weeping Jesus. Jesus crying. Say, what is wrong with you? My people in Nigeria, they want my work to be in vain. Praise God. Jesus, imagine Jesus. All through his life on the face of the earth, he wept once. And it did not last. It's the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. Next thing. Where is he? Praise God. But in heaven, perpetually. Yeah. What is wrong? They have made my work be vain. Glory to God. And you will now die. You will now say, thank God. Is now with Jesus. To do what? To cry with him. If that's what Jesus is doing, that's what you're going to do. So why the excitement? Hallelujah. Does it make sense? The evidence is from where? The scriptures. Not visions, not experiences. God's word. God said it. I believe it. That's it, is it? Hallelujah. Let's keep moving. So Jesus presented his evidence to them from the scriptures. Glory to God. The tool for persuasion is God's word. Luke 18, Luke 16. I read this to us last week. Let's see it again. Luke 16, verse 22 to 31. Luke 16, 22 to 31. Bible says, so it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. When Abraham said, son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, likewise Lazarus, evil things. But now he's comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those from who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Look at such a conversation. And I said last week, when Jesus was telling parables, he wouldn't say Abraham, a certain person. He mentioned Abraham. He mentioned a certain Lazarus. So it's not fiction. Praise God. It's not fiction. And then look at the conversation. Verse 27. Then he said, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham. But if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. Verse 31, let's read together. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. So God does not send anybody from the dead. Hallelujah. He says they have to believe those who are there, who are preaching. Because faith does not come by seeing. Just look at the screen. See fire. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by what? The word of God. Glory be to God. So the tool for persuasion is the Bible, the scriptures. Acts of Apostles 18:4. Acts 18:4. Glory be to God. Just follow carefully. Pay attention. Acts 18, verse 4. Bible says, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. He persuaded them from the scriptures. Acts 19:8. And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. He was persuading them from the scriptures. Acts 28, verse 23. Acts of Apostles 28 and verse 23. So when they had appointed him a day, many came to him at his lodging, to whom he testified, to whom he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus. From where? From both the law of Moses and the prophets. From till when? Is this sermon very long? This sermon is long. He's very long, Abby. From morning till evening. So we can have 6-hour session. We can have 8 hours teaching. Mind you, he was not teaching believers or unbelievers. He was trying to show them faith. Show them to believe the gospel. And he was teaching them from morning till evening. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So do I have your permission? Can we do this till 6? Hallelujah. Whoa, I will grow into it. Hallelujah. Let's take it step by step. All right. But then we'll soon have a meeting. 10-hour session. Hallelujah. 11-hour teaching. And our lives will not remain the same. So, the tool for persuasion is the scriptures. 2 Corinthians 5:11. It says, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we do what? We persuade men. This persuasion does not come from anywhere. It comes from the scriptures. Hallelujah. Now let's write. We must proclaim the gospel in a way that people's faith rests on the promises of God. We must proclaim the gospel in a way that people's faith rests on the promises of God fulfilled in Christ. We must proclaim the gospel in a way that people's faith rests on the promises of God fulfilled in Christ. Hallelujah. We must proclaim the gospel in a way that people's faith rests on the promises of God fulfilled in Christ. Glory to God. We're still writing. This is how to produce solid disciples of the word. This is how to produce solid disciples of the word. This is how to produce solid disciples of the word.
Not disciples of the world, though. Of the word. Hallelujah. We are still writing. This presentation of the gospel is both to Jews and Gentiles. It's both to Jews and Gentiles. Jews spells J-E-W-S. Gentiles G-E-N-T-I-L-E-S. Both to Jews and to Gentiles. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You know, there's this idea, and I want to address this again extensively. There's this idea that the gospel, or the scriptures rather, are for Israelites. And that Christianity is a white man's religion. Have you heard that before? White man's religion. I don't know. What were your fathers doing? Praise God. Our fathers were worshipping idols. So, Christianity was brought to us, according to them, by white guys. Now, were the Jews white guys? Israel. Are they white guys? Mixed breed. Huh? They are Arabs. Are they white? Is Jesus white? Praise God. What if you see Jesus and he looks like me? Amen. Wears a crazy jeans. Steps into church, sit down somewhere there. Say, who is this guy? Then the devil comes with a white robe. Carries a bell. Say, that's God. That's God. Hallelujah. Okay. Were Israelites? Are Israelites white guys? You should find out. Okay, but those that brought the gospel to us are white guys. They came to teach us. And people have said it was a tool for colonization and all that. But the scriptures, and also they used to say that if you read through the Old Testament, it wasn't talking to Gentiles. It's about Jews, Judah, Jerusalem, and all that. Now, they are right to an extent, because a lot of those scriptures were focused on Jews. Jerusalem, Judah, what God was going to do for those guys. But even the idea of Gentiles believing the gospel is not a New Testament development. Praise God. That is, it is not that after Jesus died and rose again, they now decided to include Gentiles. Right from the Old Testament, they were also prophesying about this reality. Glory to God. So look at how Paul presents this. Romans 1, 1 to 4. Romans chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. I'll read from verse 1. Paul, a bond servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through the prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. He says, I'm called to the gospel which was promised before in the Holy Scriptures. Now, were the Romans Jews or Gentiles? Were the Romans Jews or Gentiles? So, but he's writing it to them and showing them that this gospel was promised in the Scriptures, even for them. Now, it gets to verse 16. Romans 1, verse 16. What does he say? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto what? Salvation through faith. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who what? Who believes. For the Jew first, and also to the Gentiles, the Greek. For indeed the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, just shall live by faith. So the gospel is first to the Jews, right? And then to Gentiles. See this other place. 16, Romans 16, 25. Romans 16, 25. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures made known to how many nations? How many nations? All nations. Amen. So, it is not just about the Jews. Amen. Let's write this.
So the gospel is not just about the Jews. Hallelujah. The gospel is not just about the Jews. What we have is that it was first to them and then to Gentiles. What we have, that is in the scriptures, is that it was first to them and then to the Gentiles. The gospel is not just about the Jews. What we have is that it was first to them and then to the Gentiles. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Did you get that? The gospel is not just about it. It was first to them, then to the Gentiles. Now listen, I also said this, and I like to reiterate, that what brought a distinction, the idea of Jew, Gentile in the first place, what brought that distinction is the law. God was not dealing with us as Jews and Gentiles. He was dealing with the whole world as one race. What brought the distinction or demarcation is the law of Moses. Praise God. And let's see that. Ephesians 2. The law of Moses. Ephesians in chapter 2. Glory to God. Ephesians 2. And then we read from verse 11. It is the law that brought the separation. Therefore, remember, Ephesians 2:11, that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands. So who were referring to us as uncircumcision? The circumcision, the Jews. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you once, who once were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Now listen, listen. He says in verse 14, for he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. When he says he himself is our peace, this is not peace between us and God. He's talking about the Jews and the Gentiles. And then when he says the middle wall of separation, he's not referring to the barrier between us and God. It's but barrier between the Jews and the Gentiles. So what is that barrier? That's why he says he has made two of them to become one. Amen. What is that barrier? Verse 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from how many? Look into your Bible. Ephesians 2, verse 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from how many? From the two, thus making what? Peace. So, who are the two? Jews and what? What is the new man that was created from them? The church. Hallelujah. So, the barrier and the middle wall of separation was the law. Circumcision. So if you wanted to be a part of God's people in those days, you have to be circumcised in your flesh. You have to convert to Judaism. But Jesus took that away. Hallelujah. And then we have a new man, the church. Where there is no Jew or Gentile, you know Paul said that. There's no Jew, Gentile, circumcised, or uncircumcised. It's just the new creature. It's just the Spirit of God in Christ. Hallelujah. Let's keep reading. Look at verse 16. And that he might reconcile them both to God. Have you seen again? It is not about we and Christ. It's about the Jews. That he might reconcile both of us to God. And then in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near. For through him, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. So who are the both again? The Jews and Gentiles. So, he has brought us together in Christ. And we all have access to the Father by one Spirit. So, what brought a demarcation? The idea of the gospel being for the Jews in the first place was that demarcation was brought by the law. Because God was not dealing with us as Jews and Gentiles. He was dealing with us as one race. Glory to God. That's why, look at the promise he gave to Abraham. Genesis. Genesis 12. Look at God's promise to Abraham. Hallelujah. Genesis in chapter 12. Genesis 12.
And I'll read from verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I'll make you a great nation, and I'll bless you, and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and I'll curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be what? How many people were given this promise? All. The word family there also means nation. All the nations of the earth. So the blessing given to Abraham is for how many people? It was not just for Jews. It was for all. Glory to God. So you see that this was before the law. So it was the law that now made it a Jewish thing. Glory be to God. So let's see this. Let's investigate this again. Luke 2, 8 to 11. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 11. Luke 2, 8 to 11. We're going to continue from... We're not going to finish this note somewhere, somehow, because of time. I don't want to go beyond 2 hours. Hallelujah. For some of you, as you heard that now, ah, oh, thank God. Praise God. The happiest moment for some people in church is when the preacher says, let's begin to close. Ah, let's close. Praise God. Just learn to tarry in the word. Amen. One of the major failures where the enemy is beating the church is in the place of not having time for God's word. SMS service. Nothing is going to work that way. Jesus taught men for 3 days. Hallelujah. Luke 2, 8 to 11. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 11. Glory to God. Luke 2, 8 to 11. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to how many people? To all people. Hallelujah. Look at this. Luke chapter 2 again. Verse 25. Luke 2, 25 to 32. Praise God. Luke 2, 25 to 32. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples. Before the face of how many people? A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people, Israel. So you see that it is all inclusive. Jews, Gentiles, every man, the gospel was God's plan for all of us. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. That's why Jesus' instruction, Matthew 28, 18, write this down. Matthew 28, 18, look at the instructions. Jesus gave them instructions. Go and make disciples of all nations. Hallelujah. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Mark 16, 15 to 20. Go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16, 15 to 20. Luke 24, 47. Luke 24, 47. And that repentance and remission of sins will be preached in his name among all nations. Acts 1, 8. Acts 1, 8. And you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. Glory to God. Because the gospel is not a Jewish gospel. It's the gospel for all nations. Praise God. So we were not rigged in. He is not trying to bring us in, introduce us to something that was not for us. It belongs to us. Hallelujah. The promises of God belong both to the Jews and to the Gentiles. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So let me quickly show you in the prophets. In fact, let's write this down quickly. Then I'll show us, walk us through places in the Old Testament where there were prophecies concerning Gentiles. But let's write this down first. Prophecies concerning Israel and Judah.
prophecies concerning Israel and Judah being recipients of God's promises. Prophecies concerning Israel and Judah being recipients of God's promises. We have Isaiah 46:1, Isaiah 46:1, Isaiah 41:9, Isaiah 41:27, Isaiah 41:27, Isaiah 43:1, Isaiah 43:1. So from now, just write the numbers. It's the same Isaiah. Isaiah 43:1, 45:17, 45:17, 45:21, 45:22, 45:24-25, 45:24-25, 45:25, 46:1, 45:17, 45:18-19, 45:18-19, 66:10 and 13, 66:10 and 13, 66:10 and 13, 66:10 and 13, Jeremiah 23:6, Jeremiah 23:6, Jeremiah 33:16, Jeremiah 33:16, Psalm 138, Psalm 138, Hosea 1:7, Hosea 1:7, Obadiah 1:17, Obadiah 1:17, Zechariah 10:6, Obadiah 1:17, Zechariah 10:6.
So those verses of the Bible that we just saw are verses
that speak of God's promises as something that God was going to perform to the Jews. Amen. So when you read all those places, you find, and to the house of Israel, and Judah shall be saved, and Jerusalem shall this, and you get. So you can read all those verses and be like, oh, I mean, nothing said about us. Glory to God. So some can use those scriptures to confuse you, or confuse the saints, that they were originally not for us. But then, let's see other scriptures. Prophecies concerning Gentiles. Prophecies concerning the Gentiles. Isaiah 9, we're going to read these ones. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1 to 2. Isaiah 9, 1 to 2. Glory, hallelujah. Prophecies concerning Gentiles. Isaiah 9, 1 to 2. Turn your Bibles there and let's read. It says, nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed. And when at first he lightly esteemed, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan in Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, and those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You know, this was quoted in Matthew. Galilee of the Gentiles. Those who dwelt in the land of darkness, upon them a great light has shined. So this is about Gentiles. Isaiah 11:10. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand as a banner to the people. For the Gentiles shall do what? Shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. Hallelujah. The Gentiles shall do what? Shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. So this is beyond the Jews. Isaiah 42:1-6. Isaiah 42:1-6. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights, I will put my spirit upon him, and he will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will bring forth justice to who? To who? Hallelujah. He will bring forth justice to Gentiles. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastland shall wait for his law. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and that which comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk on it. Verse 6, let's read together. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people and as a light to the Gentiles. Some versions have it as nations, but it's Gentiles. Hallelujah. So this is not just about the Jews. Isaiah 49 verse 6. So there's nothing like a Jewish gospel, Jewish scripture. No, it is both to Jews and to Gentiles because God is the same God over all. Isaiah 49 and verse 6. Glory be to God. Isaiah 9, 6. Sorry, Isaiah 49 and verse 6. Hallelujah. Bible says, indeed, it says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to glory to God. Okay, let me start again. Isaiah 49:6. Indeed, it says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you as a light to who? A light to who? The Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the end of the earth. Hallelujah. That is, why should you just save Israel? The Gentiles, everybody, the whole nations of the earth are recipients of God's goodness in Christ. Micah 5 and verse 8. Micah 5 and verse 8. Hallelujah. Micah chapter 5 and verse 8. Micah 5, 8. Glory to God. And then we're going to see Malachi at the last portion. Micah 5, 8. And the remnant of Jacob shall be among many peoples like dews from the Lord. Okay. And the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many peoples, like a lion among the beasts of the forest, like a young lion among flocks of sheep, who, if he passes through, both treads down and tears in pieces, and none can deliver. The remnant of Jacob, that is Israel, shall be among the Gentiles. Glory to God. This is also a prophecy about the Gentiles being recipients of the gospel. Last place, Malachi chapter 1 and verse 11. Malachi 1, 11. Glory to God. Malachi 1, 11. Bible says, for from the rising of the sun, even to its going down, my name shall be great among who? Among who? From the rising of the sun to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place, incense shall be offered to my name and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. So, the promises of God are both to Jews and to who? And to Gentiles. So, the preaching of the gospel must communicate it as a fulfillment of God's promise to everyone. Amen. Hallelujah. So we are recipients of the promises of God. We are not strangers to it. Amen. We are recipients. That which God promised to the Jews, he also promised to you and I. So in preaching the gospel, both to the Jews and to the Gentiles, it must be presented as a fulfillment of the promises of God to us. Hallelujah. And the scriptures must serve as the only basis or the only evidence we have for this. And then when men look at the scriptures, they see the promises of God. Scriptures refer to Old Testament now. They see the promises of God, and they look in the New Testament, and they see the fulfillment. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, was preached among us by me, Silvanus. He says, it's not yes and no. He now says, for all the promises of God in Christ, they are yes, and they are amen to the glory of God through us. God has fulfilled his promise to us. Hallelujah. So we are recipients of a fulfillment. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we are not looking forward to what God will do. We look back to what God has done. Amen. We look back to what God has done. Hallelujah. Why do we praise God? We don't praise him so he can do something. We praise him because he did something. Glory be to God. So we are in the finished work of Jesus. Amen. And then we have the scriptures as an evidence of this hope. Glory be to God. You know, last week I said you should investigate the veracity of the claim that the word scriptures was used for Old Testament. Graphe, used for the Old Testament. Some of you have submitted. Some of you have not submitted. I'm still waiting for that assignment. And we're going to look at it together carefully next week. Glory be to God. Lift your hands and give Him praise. Are you blessed today? Say with me, I'm a recipient of the fulfillment of God's promises in Christ. Say with me, I'm not a stranger to the promises of God. Say with me, God is the God of the Jews and the God of the Gentiles. Hallelujah. Say, God is not just the God of Abraham. He is also my God. Hallelujah. Say with me, God had me in mind all along, long before I was born. And Jesus came as a fulfillment of God's intention for me. Go ahead and pray in the Holy Ghost. Go ahead and pray in the Holy Ghost. Go ahead and pray. We're going to pray for one straight hour. We're in church for training, discipline. We study the word of God. That's enough food for you. We can pray. In the next 1 hour, we are praying. We are praying. We are praying. Endeavor, you stay through this session of prayer. You can't feed on the word of God this much and just waste the edification. It's a time to pray. Mommy, you can sit if you need to, but make sure we just keep praying. Men jolomo tuso folo teri 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 te